here. Good morning. Please be seated. My name is Kim Curlett, and I am filling in for Michael this morning. He is off on a study leave. I'm not sure what particular thing he's up to this morning, but he's asked me to come and lead you in worship this morning. I am a final year student at the Atlantic School of Theology, for those of you that do not know me, and I am scheduled to be ordained in May of 2019. So, and those of you that do know me will remember that I started here. So my home church is Woodlawn United Church, and I knew your previous minister very well, Susan McAlpine Gillis. And Susan was very brave, very kind, and perhaps very desperate when she asked me to come and lead you the summer before I even started at the Atlantic School of Theology. So I led you in pulpit supply for about 6 weeks. And so I'm not sure if she just couldn't find anyone else. But either way, I'm very, very grateful that you guys were brave enough to have me at that time. And I will have really exciting news in the next couple of weeks to share. But let's just say this is probably my last Sunday with you for a while. Okay, so we have our words of welcome. Let's have an acknowledgement of place. You'll see it on our screen. We acknowledge the land on which we stand. Together, for thousands of years, First Nations people have walked on this land. Their relationship with the land is at the center of their lives and spirituality. Through mutuality of the Peace and Friendship Treaty, we gather on the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people, and we acknowledge that their place on their land is protected throughout the ages.
Would you like to come help me? Do you want to come help me? You both can. Come on.
I'll light the first one, and then you guys can light these two. Okay. So we light our Christ candle to remind us of the light of Christ that's always with us. I'll light that one.
You got it.
And we light this candle, which you guys use to represent peace. And we remember the peace that there is in the world and the peace that came through Jesus Christ. And our third candle we light, we remember that there are many places in the world where there is not peace. Good job. Thank you. And we use that candle to remind us to continue to pray for our first responders and our military who take the time to find peace in the world. We will join together now in More Voices number 7, Gather Us In, and we'll sing that through twice. That's your coiled book, or it will be on the screen. To ask a child to come forward to lead us in the call to worship. Do I have a volunteer? Come on up. You know this? Awesome. She's like, I got this.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's one of the things I love about you folks. I remember the first summer that I was here, I said, well, you know, you've got the readers lined up, you've got all, they're like, no, you just show up. And I went, what do you mean? Like, no, I have to pick them? And so I would come here in the summer and I would just look for someone and say, hey, you want to read scripture today? And nobody ever said no. It was beautiful. It was really, really great. So thank you for being such faithful witness here in this place. And thank you this morning. Our opening prayer will be found on the screen, and I'll invite you to read where bold. We come, for God gathers us here with the community called faith.
Where the hungry are served first, where the thirsty drink life's water.
We come, for God welcomes us here into that home called grace. We come, for God reunites us here, sisters and brothers in that family called love.
Where the imprisoned model justice, where the sinner are prayed in God's peace.
Amen. And I'll invite you to rise and sing together, in loving partnership we come, Voices United, the Red Book, number 603. It's also on the screen, of course.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 16 and 20 to 24. It's entitled, God the Good Shepherd. For thus saith the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks their flock when they are among their scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places in which they have been scattered on the day of the clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from their countries, and I will bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture and mountain heights of Israel, shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in the good grazing land, and they shall feed on the rich pasture of the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will seek the lost. I will bring back those that have strayed. I will bind up the injury, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, saith Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted out all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be enraged. I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And Psalm 100, Part 1, if you want to use the book, it's 847. If not, it's on the screen. Shout to God, all the earth.
Worship with gladness and joy.
Come before God with laughter.
Our Maker, to whom we belong.
To the shepherd who tends the sheep.
Let us raise our voices in song.
Come to God's gate with thanks.
Come to God's courts with praise.
Praise and bless God's name.
Truly you are beloved.
And always be generous.
It included, we come to you with laughter. That was perfectly timed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Bring it over, guys. Wow, look at people doing this work, moving mats and placing people that up. Fill that up. Hi, guys.
Hi.
So, are you starting to get excited? Studying. I think he's on what they call study leave, so he'll be back next week. Will I be good enough for today? We'll see, hey?
Yeah,
okay. All right.
That's
yes?
Today I'm making my mom's Christmas present.
Oh, don't tell me what it is. You tell me later, okay? All right. So in our scripture readings today, there's a lot of talk about sheep, and I thought about doing a children's story about sheep, but do you need one more children's story about sheep?
Yeah.
You do? Maybe. Yeah, well, we'll see. So I said no, I didn't need to do another one about sheep, not today.
Yeah.
But another thing that we're going to be talking about in our scripture readings is kings. I want to know what you know. Today in the church here is called Christ the King Sunday. What does it mean to be a king? Yeah.
To make sure everyone's safe.
Oh, to make sure everyone's safe, okay. Yep. Okay, yeah. little rules and stuff to follow to keep them healthy and things. Yep. You gonna go visit Nanny? Go visit Nanny. Yeah. Go ahead, honey. So you forget, that's okay. Are all the kings that you see on TV or in your storybooks, are they all good kings?
No.
What's the difference between a good king and a bad king? That's exactly right. The bad kings people, they just care about their gold and silver. That's brilliant. Thank you. Yeah. Anything else? So, okay, so at Christmas time, have any of you seen Shrek? Have you ever? Yeah, me too. Do you remember the song that Donkey sings in Shrek?
Yeah.
For Christmas? What is it? Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen. You know that one?
Yeah.
What's that song about?
Christmas.
It's about Christmas, sure.
Kings.
It's about kings. Is it about a good king or a bad king?
Good.
A good king. Yeah, that's a bad king. This king's a good king. And did you know that Good King Wenceslas was a real guy?
Yeah.
Good King Wenceslas is based on a real guy who was actually a duke, but when they sainted him, they called him a king, and that's fine. But there's a great story. So I'm going to read you the story of Good King Wenceslas, which is really the song of Good King Wenceslas. So Good King Wenceslas last looked out upon the feast of Stephen. That's the day after Christmas, the first day that Christmas begins. When the snow, we call it Boxing Day, you're right. When the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. Do you think we're going to have snow for Christmas?
Maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel. When a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel. And the king said to his helper, "Hither, page, and stand by me. If you know who this guy is, tell me. Where is he? What is he doing? And where does he live?" And what did the page say to him? The page said, "He lives under the mountain. He lives against the mountain, right against the forest fence by St. Agnes Fountain." And the king said, "Well, then bring me meat and bring me wine and bring me all of the good things to make a feast. Bring me fuel and bring me fire, and we'll go to him and we will make sure that he has a really good Christmas." So off they went in that cold and dark and snowy night. And it was a long way to the mountain. And they walked and they walked. And at one point, the page finally looked at the king and he said, "I can't do this anymore. It's too far." And what did Good King Wenceslas say to him? Do you remember in the song? He said, "Mark my footsteps, my dear page." Do you know what that means? Dear page. It means step in my footsteps. Have you ever done that when you're out in the snow? So have you ever done that when you're not sure where to step? So you step in the footprints that are already there?
Yeah.
So the king said to him, "It's okay, I got this. I will lead the way, and all you need to do is follow in my footsteps, and we'll get there, I promise." And at the end of the song, it says to you very clearly, it says, "So, good Christians." Who's that?
Us.
I hope so. Us, yeah. "So, good Christians, rejoice. There's a king that's been sent to show you the way. Walk in his footsteps and you won't get lost on your way to do good things." So, what do you think about that story? There's a couple of kings in that story. Good King Wenceslas, but who do you think the other king that they're talking about? Yeah, what is the other king that they might be talking about? Who do we follow? Whose footsteps do we walk in? Oh, I have lots of hands up. Let's say it all at once. 1, 2, 3.
God.
God is our king. And who did God send to teach us?
Jesus.
And that's whose footsteps we will follow. So today, Christ the King Sunday, we follow the footsteps of our King so that we can do good things, just like good King Wenceslas and his page. Sound good? So now when you sing that song over the Christmas holidays, you'll be like, I know what that song means. It's about a 10th century saint, and you'll be able to tell all kinds of stories. Do you want to pray?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for being a good king.
Thank you for being a good king.
And thank you for sending,
the Prince of Peace,
who we follow.
Amen.
Amen. And now you're going to follow someone else. Mark her good footsteps, my dear children, off to Sunday school. Who are we following today? There we go. Okay, so our next hymn comes with a warning. The first thing about our next hymn, and I want you to know, is I didn't pick it. Usually when we lead worship, we also pick the hymns, and this one came already chosen, and so I'm getting myself off the hook for this. Blame Michael. Michael chose this one. So it's a little bit different. It's written by a First Nations composer, so it has a different kind of a rhythm. In it is a whole lot of way, ha, ha, way, ya, ya, hey's. And you're going to be like, what? Okay, because I don't think, there may be some of us here that are First Nations people, but most of us are not. And so this is not a natural rhythm for us. It's not a natural tone for us to use. But we're going to do our best. And the point of this, if you get a chance today to YouTube, We Are All One People, it's beautiful. And the guy that wrote it is singing it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful song. So you can go and see how it's really supposed to be done later. But we're going to do our best right now, and we're going to sing our hearts out, and we're not going to care about notes. I said to Charles, forgive me, I'm about to tell the choir something, just plug your ears. Forget about notes, forget about rhythm, sing your heart out. So let's rise and sing this together the best that we can.
New Testament reading this morning is taken from Matthew 25. In your bulletin, it says Matthew 25, 34 to 46. But the lectionary reading is actually Matthew 25, 31 to 46. I think I know why the first part was left out, and I'll speak to that in the sermon. But I'm going to read from 31 to 46 as soon as I find it. Oh, that's because I marked it in the other one. So we're reading from the New International Version this morning. It's titled The Sheep and the Goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will come and say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you in a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothes you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of these, the least of me, of these my brothers, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, and go into the eternal fires prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick and in prison, and did not help you?" And he will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of these, the least of these, my brothers, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
I dare say that was a piece fit for a king. Will you pray with me, please? May the words that I share reach the hearts that need to hear them. May the thoughts that I share inspire thoughts of your own, and may all of us remember that we are held in the presence and love of one another and of God in this place. Amen. So as I mentioned to the children this morning, in the calendar year, today is known as the Reign of Christ or Christ the King Sunday. This is the last Sunday in our church year before we begin a new church year. It feels really strange to say this is the last Sunday in our church year. You're like, well, no, it ends in December. It ends at the end of the year. But it doesn't. The church calendar year ends today. And next week we begin what? Advent. And Advent starts the story all over again, leading into what's known in the lectionary as Year B. But to close off Year A, you heard some of the readings this morning. So today is about acknowledging Jesus Christ, the one we choose to follow, as the ruler of our lives. But I think it's really important to clear something up first. There are some that resist the use of the words king, prince, master, lord, for Jesus or for God. These are words that are used to describe people that are sometimes not good. You heard those people from the children. That is the king that doesn't care about his people and the one that only cares about gold and silver. And I know some of these folks, and I was one of these folks, and some of you might be some of these folks that would say, those words do not describe my Jesus. They might even change the word kingdom to kindom, taking out the G and making it about our kin, which it is. They are resistant to use the word Lord, and sometimes, and I don't know that this is the case, but sometimes they even remove parts of the scripture that talk about Jesus coming onto the throne. And I don't know that that's why it was removed. It might have been an error, but that happens. To take that stuff out. We don't want to talk about that. Jesus would have never wanted that, they say. Jesus was very humble. And I wouldn't argue that Jesus was humble. I think Jesus was probably one of the most humble people that ever walked this earth. But he was also someone that came to flip the kingdoms of the world on their head to show us, to reveal to us the kingdom of God. And I don't think that he was as against those titles as we might think that he should be. In the Gospel of Luke, for example, there's a story where Jesus asks the disciples and all the people gathered, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? He doesn't say, don't call me Lord, Lord. He says, if you're going to call me that, then you better do what I say. He did not resist that they called him that. There's another example in the Gospel of John, and here Jesus said, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, because that is what I am. So he used those titles for himself. He talked about the kingdom of God. These are the words that Jesus used. And likely those words elicit very specific ideas about what those are, because the only reference that we have to think about these ideas is the world in which we live. And in the world in which we live, kingdoms and princes and lords and, God forbid, masters are terrible people. But that's not Jesus. So our readings today provide great entry points to think about Jesus Christ in these terms. I want to suggest that these titles used for Jesus actually mock the world. They mock the world. They are about social witness. They are about Jesus saying, there is another way to do this. Let me show you how. So let's take a look at our scriptures today. Today, the readings relate to one another. This isn't always the case. Those of you that spend any time with the lectionary at all will know that sometimes these readings are like, why did they pick that here and this here? And like, ugh. But today we got goats and sheep uniting it all together. It's really lovely. I got real excited about stuff like that. Bible geek. Considering Ezekiel first. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and I will seek them out. God is the shepherd. In the verses previous to this one that fall just before where the lectionary starts today, there's some condemnation on the bad shepherds that have been about, the bad shepherds that have scattered their sheep and haven't been doing such a great job of taking care. They've used the sheep for their own good. They've clothed themselves in their wool and they've eaten their meat and they haven't really given a care about them at all. They just use them for their own good. So God comes in the scripture and promises to gather back in all the sheep that have been lost and wandering as a result of poor shepherding. God says that those that need a shepherd will be well cared for. And in this case, the ruler is described as a good shepherd. We hear that image again and again in the Bible. We will hear more about that in a moment, about what that kind of ruler is like. But I want to draw your attention to another part of the scripture that's missing. So in our Matthew reading, we left out the beginning where Jesus comes to the throne. But there's an important part missing in the reading of Ezekiel this morning, and it sounds like this. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. It is not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture. When you drink of the clear water, must you foul the rest with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden down with your feet and drink what you have fouled with your feet? And this part comes between the part about feeding the fat sheep justice, Sally so eloquently read this morning, and the part about the sheep being judged between. So that calls upon the goats and the sheep that we're going to hear about in Matthew in a little bit. And unless you know something about ancient herding practices, some of this might not really make a whole lot of sense. Now, the people that were hearing this in the time of Ezekiel and then later in the time of Jesus, they got this message. These things were all around them. It was very common for them. We've got some sheep and goats, I think, still at the Cole Harbor Heritage Museum. But for the rest of us, unless we know a lot about sheep and goats, a lot has changed since the ancient times. Back then, sheep and goats actually looked alike. They were both really furry. They both had little horns, and it was only the shepherd that could tell apart the sheep and the goats. If you and I are thinking in our heads right now, we're thinking about, I know a sheep, I know a goat, right? Sheep are fluffy and white and furry and really cute, and goats, I don't know if it's because of these passages, but goats are kind of evil looking. Their eyes are on the way far side of their head, you know, and they don't have a lot of fur. Sometimes there's some furry ones that you might see from, you know, National Geographic over in Asia or something. But we think about the goats as the ones that don't have a lot of fur. They're kind of smaller unless they're pregnant. And then the sheep are fluffy and cute and fat, right? They're nice and they're bad. We got that, right, in our heads? But that wasn't the case then. Then it was only the shepherd that could tell the difference between the sheep and the goats. And the difference between them is how they behaved. Sheep relied on the shepherd to take care of them. They trusted her voice, and they moved where they were told. Sheep actually, and this might be offensive because we're called to be them, sheep were actually considered a bit stupid, right? They needed the shepherd to show them where to go. They couldn't do it on their own. Goats, on the other hand, are always trying to get away from the goatherd. When I first read that, I'm like, goatherd? What's a goatherd? But it's like shepherd, a goatherd, or a goat herder. They're always trying to get away from that person. That person's in their way. They're like off doing their own thing. So a shepherd, the sheep follow a shepherd. A goatherd follows the goats, if that makes any sense. They're smart and they're independent. And the goat herder spends most of his time trying to keep them out of trouble. And if any of you have been to Oakland Farm Zoo, have you been to Oakland Farm Zoo and fed the goats? And there's that one little goat that just doesn't look like he's getting enough. And you... and all the corn falls down, and all of a sudden they're all there, right? And you quickly understand the competition between goats, right? They are greedy, greedy little beasts. Greedy little beasts. Goats move independently. Sheep are dependent on their shepherd. Goats seem to need less protection and a little more discipline They are both members of the same flock, though. Yet they have very different needs. So when Ezekiel tells us that God will sort the sheep from the sheep, I wonder if he's saying that God will be both the shepherd and the goatherd and do the best to take care of both. The other thing about the Ezekiel reading that it does tell us are three things that are promised about this ruler to come. And Ezekiel, he's talking about the ruler that's going to come and take care of the Israelites that are in exile. But we as Christians look at that passage as a promise of Jesus Christ, and we read it from that perspective. Walter Brueggemann, who I'll do a little plug right now for the sale that's out there, because hands off, there's a Walter Brueggemann Advent series out there that I got my eye on. Walter Brueggemann is arguably one of the greatest Old Testament scholars of our age. And Walter Brueggemann breaks it down like this. He says, this passage promises that the ruler would be from the line of David. And you heard Sally read that it was David. But at the time of the reading, David was dead for 400 years. So what Ezekiel is saying is it's going to be from the line of David. God also remains the king, and a human will become the representative for God to lead in the Father's commands. The third thing that he says is that the new ruler will not be self-indulgent as the previous rulers had been, but will be a shepherd king, taking good care of the flock and ensuring that all the kingdom are safe and cared for. The reading from Matthew's gospel today echoes the sheep-goat metaphor that we were first introduced to in Ezekiel. And here we find Jesus fulfilling those three things. He's a ruler from the line of David. He is recognized as the Son of God, and as selfless as they come, arriving in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus tells the story about what it will be like when he comes into his glory, when he comes towards his throne. He tells it in a parable about sheep and goats. And like the story from Ezekiel, it's a time when the judgment's going to happen. It's a time when sheep will be judged, nations from nations, sheep from goats. And the Gospel of Matthew is actually a little bit more explicit about what's going to happen to the goats, though. Remember, the goats do not want to be herded. They have gone where they wanted to go. They have been independent and only looked out for themselves. They have never needed or wanted a herder. The sheep, on the other hand, as we heard, truly followed the one that came to lead them. They did what he did, went where he went. They followed his example, so when they saw someone thirsty, they didn't even have to think about it. They just knew what to do. They saw someone thirsty, and they thought, give them a drink. They didn't do it because they saw Jesus Christ in the people that they met. They didn't do it because they saw Jesus Christ in the prison. They did it because it was in their bones. It was their faith that showed them what to do in times like that. Similarly, the goats didn't not give someone a drink because they hated Jesus. They didn't not give someone a drink because they probably didn't even see them thirsty. They were too busy trying to figure out how to get their own drink. The parable Jesus tells here has a harsh consequence for choosing to be a goat. They have chosen not to follow Jesus into the kingdom of heaven that God prepared for all of them, but have chosen the path that leads them into the place prepared for the devil and his angels. And that's a part we'd like to skip. But it's there, and it's hard. It would be a really awkward thing up on the screen. We're going to read Matthew 25, verses 34 to 16, 18 to 21, and then 24 to 30. You know, we take out all those little pieces that we don't like, but they're there. They're there. So we have to read them carefully to see what they have to say. And here's a distinction that's sometimes missed. This is not a place prepared for goats. The eternal fire is not a place prepared for people who don't do God's work. It's very explicitly prepared for the devil and his angels only. The only place that's prepared for the goats and the sheep is the kingdom of heaven. But the goats aren't going the right way. Those that blindly follow no one but themselves and their greed are at risk of following a path that was never intended for them in the first place. They are like the goats that refuse to follow the herder to green pastures, Or like Ezekiel's readings accuse that even when they get there, they tromp all over things and mucky the water and just make everything nasty for everybody else. At the end of the day, though, it's not Jesus or God who sends anyone into the eternal fire. In fact, Jesus is acting like a goat herd in this parable by telling this parable. This is not a parable about what happened. This is a parable about warning. This is the goat herder telling the goats, those listening to this story like you and me, where to go, redirecting the sheep and the goats. It is up to them, it is up to us to choose the right path. Finally, sometimes this passage, and I'm not going to skip this part because it's a part of the passage, sometimes is read as a manifesto about charity. And it's read just before Christmas time. I don't think that's a coincidence. But when we take it as a literal reading like that, it gets us set forth in doing. In doing all the things, feeding the hungry, providing shelter for the homeless, and these are all good things. But the passage of Ezekiel, I think, is included to encourage us to go deeper. If you remember in that reading, the shepherd didn't just bind up the source. The shepherd changed the whole pasture. That injury on that one sheep was just a symptom of a larger problem. And so the shepherd was to go to work to restore the glory of the pasture as it once was. So we need both. We need both. One piece of the lesson today is about the necessity for charity, but the other piece is to teach us that we have to do is learn to be in relationship with one another so that we can start to see the whole people of God, so that when we see one person hurting, we see the whole people of God hurting. And that means that we actually have to see each other. So before I wrap this up, I want to name something for you this morning, and this message may make some of you feel guilty. Some of you hear that piece from Matthew, and I do too, as I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing my part. And I want you to know that we don't do guilt here. This is not a kind of passage that says you ought to feel bad about yourself and get up and do more. It's not about that at all. Guilt is useless and just leaves us feeling bad about ourselves and often just makes us want to give up altogether. So may I suggest that if you do feel guilty this morning, it's because you already care. You already care deeply about serving God and the people of God. Because people that don't care, they don't feel guilty about anything. But it is really important to remember that you, as one person, don't have to do it all. There are so many of us in this space, in this world, that are called to be and do God's work in the world. God didn't call all of us to do all of it. God called each of us to do a part of it. So here are some ideas that might align you with what you already do in alignment with the teaching this morning. So perhaps you already give to charity through monetary giving. I encourage you to spend some time really thinking about where your money goes and how your money is being used. To really think about making sure that your dollars are being used in a way that does more good than harm. That people that are using your money are making the most out of that use of your money to help other people that you originally intended by your giving. I want you to think about those of you that do stuff, that volunteer your time and your energy towards things. I want you to start to think about, do I still like it? Or is it just another thing I have to do, tick off my list? Do I still feel joy in serving others? And if you don't, how can you change it? Maybe there's a new thing calling you that you need to make room for to do in your lives. Jesus loved to serve God and God's people. And that's the example that we ought to follow. We want to love what we do. So as you think about all the ways that you're ready to give of yourself and others, I want you to also think about sometimes you don't have money, and sometimes you don't have time. I'm a full-time student. This is all I do. I live on my child tax benefit. I don't have a lot of money to give to other people, and I'm a single mom. I'm not telling you all these things to make me feel bad about myself, by the way. I love my life. I'm a single mom. there's not a lot of time, right? Full-time work, trying to get full-time school, trying to get work done, being a single mom, you know, all of those kinds of things. I don't have a lot of time to spend volunteering. I do one-offs as I can. But one of the ways that God calls us to be is to be in relationship. So you can be spending all kinds of time doing stuff. You can spend all your money doing stuff, and you can never, ever smile at someone. So I think God also calls us to think about the ways that we can be in relationship with one another, that we could maybe stop outside of the coffee shop to the guy that's asking us for change, and when we don't have any, we don't put our head down, but instead we say, "Hi, how you doing today?" Or maybe we're sitting on the bus, and somebody gets on the bus, and you can tell that she's had a bad day. Woo-hoo. And you just put your head down to avoid her eyes. Maybe this time you can be brave and risk a smile. Maybe you can be that one light in that person's day that day. And it's a risk because they might be saying, "What are you looking at?" But what if you responded back, "I just wanted to say hi." Keep being brave. Keep being brave. Keep taking a risk to be kind. And it is a risk to be kind in this world because people take advantage. Take a risk to be kind. Everybody can make a difference in somebody else's day. Everybody. So, as we listen to our reflection music in a moment, I invite you to think about how you can practice kindness and gentleness in all you do, how you can think about our Shepherd King, how you can think about the way that he served others before he served himself. May you find wisdom in the answers that you seek and peace in all that you do from here. Long live the King. Amen. There's a minute for mission this morning. I'll invite that to happen first.
One of the wonderful things that you do as a congregation is give to the minute and mission and service. And we chose to be the mission and service enthusiasts. And one of the things we want to tell you about, because sometimes it's hard when you give to something and you don't see where all of that work is going, we would like to share with you each week a little bit about what actually happens. So we're going to read a little bit about training birth attendants today.
Our gifts for mission and service support midwives and healthy babies and mothers. Let us hear a story from Tanzania about this important work. 494 women from across Tanzania, East Africa, and 16 training sessions in collaboration with the Tanzanian Ministry of Health. These are the latest totals for training traditional birth attendants, midwives, reported by Mission and Service Partner, the Morogoro Women's Training Center, the collaboration which is made possible with the support of United Church Women is part of an overall strategy to reduce maternal and infant mortality rates in Tanzania.
The women have been named by their community and range in age from early 20s to over 70. Some have worked as traditional birth attendants for decades. Some completed high school, others some grades in elementary school. A few have never attended school. All have developed a wide range of skills on their job and face many challenges in the course of their career. Some live close to a health clinic or a hospital where they can readily refer high-risk cases. Others live many kilometers from the closest medical center over difficult and sometimes impassable terrain. Molin Abdul has been delivering babies for 47 years. She welcomes the additional training and says, "This work is very important to me. It is like it keeps the clock of life ticking."
We sing thanksgiving that Mission and Service is helping to improve the health of women and babies in Tanzania. If Mission and Service is already a regular part of your giving, thank you so much. If you have not given for Mission and Service, please join me in making Mission and Service a regular part of your life of faith. In all our Mission and Service giving, with a willing heart, we sing thanksgiving to God.
God cares for us, providing us all with abundant living. God calls us to love one another in faith and action, and may our gifts reflect our trust in God's care. Our offerings will now be received.
Kim, there may be some other announcements.
Don't we usually do that while we're collecting the
No.
Oh, see, what do I know? Yeah, we can do that.
That's why the sharing is up.
What's that?
That's the sharing and life work community. Usually do it now.
Ron's worship now, so yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, sounds good.
On behalf of the worship committee, I want to invite everyone to join us next week, the first Sunday in Advent, for a hanging of the greens service. It will be a multi-generational service, so the children will be staying with us, and we're going to look at some of the symbols that we use to decorate over the holiday season. So I'm looking for some readers for next week. I'm looking for some five families, individuals, group of friends, and Kim has already told me that if I ask somebody, they won't say no. So come see me after service if you're willing. It's a short passage that's already prepared for you, a small hanging of whatever the decorative symbol is, and then we'd like to invite everyone to stay after service next week to help us finish decorating the sanctuary and the narthex for the holiday season. Thank you.
This is just a reminder, today is book display day out in the hall. So as you go out the door, make a left turn, and we are taking cash, checks, Visa, and MasterCard. So, and if there's something out there you don't see, it's mostly Christmas stuff out there, something you don't see, well, I'll actually go upstairs and help you find something, like a Bible or whatever. So we'll see you out in the hall. Thank you.
Morning. I actually have two announcements. The first announcement is about the Children's Christmas Eve service. We're hoping that there might be some more children interested in signing up. So if you have a child or a grandchild or yourself and you'd like to participate, the sign-up sheet is just out on in the narthex. And any children who are signed up, we're going to be meeting after service next week to hand out the parts and start kind of planning and rehearsing that. My second announcement is about Families Connect. We're going to have our first Families Connect event next Saturday from 5 to 7:30. Again, there's a sign-out sheet outside. If you're able to sign up, it just helps to give me an idea of how many people are coming, and I have a lot of fun activities planned and supper, so I hope to see as many families as we can. Thank you.
I'll try to make this as quick as possible. Most of you know who I am. For those of you who don't, I'm Nicole Willie West's granddaughter. So Willie took, as most of you know, Willie took a stroke last Saturday, so a week ago. I don't know what the church was told, but initially he was paralyzed completely from the left side. Now he has 90% function, so there's no paralyzed, parts. So of our big worries was his heart. Willie went into very, very high heart rates. So he was actually transferred to the cardiac ICU initially. Some really scary stuff had to happen. They had to kind of reboot his heart, so stop it and reboot it. Mind you, Willie's convinced that that has restored his hearing. So he's, he's not using his hearing aids right now because he's convinced he's been rebooted. So, yeah. Whatever makes him happy, right? Anyway, so now he is completely off of all IVs, all hookups. He's no longer catheterized, so he's doing amazing. He is no longer in an ICU. He's in a normal room on the stroke ward. He has 90% function, still covered in bruises, but hey, he looks good, colorful. Walking with a walker, flirting with all the nurses, causing trouble, being Willie, right? And he looked at me and told me I had to be here, so here I am, right? You don't say no. So I guess that's pretty much it. If anybody else has any other questions, I can answer them. But I thank everybody that did take the time out to go visit him. It's making his recovery that much easier, and the phone calls and the prayers. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Roger Kent. One of the things I do 4 times a year is lead worship at Ocean View Manor. And this past week, I had more people helping me than ever before, and for really, really good coincidental reason. I thank everybody who came. We had 29 people from Ocean View there. You have heard me in the past, probably about 5 months ago, say that we were in trouble at Ocean View because they were closing the chapel. The chapel remains closed. It is a small room now of only about 14 feet by 11 feet, jammed full of chairs. I made the fateful decision to use the chapel, so I emptied all of the chairs. And I should have taken the advice of the gal who is there. She's a recreational coordinator and one of three who recruits people from all over Ocean View, all the residents. And it is the first time in the 16 years I've been doing this that I've seen that kind of participation from a person working at Ocean View. Holly Edsel did it, but she did it on her own. This gal does it with the help of a team. 29 people. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But they cannot fit and did not fit in the chapel. We were as sardines in there. So next time we will be following the lead of the other four people who lead worship there, and we'll be using the auditorium, which really doesn't, it really lets us embrace the term, for wherever two or more gather, I shall be there. But it doesn't set the stage or the emotion or the feel for the residents. And these are residents who some contribute in ways unlike what we do, but most of them, it's the lift of an eyebrow or the tilting of a head that gives you the communication. And what they want to take from a worship is the experience. The experience fills them up. So it's going to be a challenge, but I hope I still have participation from all of you as time goes on. And I'm asking at this time for anybody who wants to be an apprentice, because I'm getting old. So anybody, any young person, any younger person who wants to help out and wants to look at these people and understand what their hunger is, please come and see me. Thank you.
I'm just here to remind you once again that this week is our final meal at Hope Cottage for 2017. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex. And this particular month, we're serving on Friday instead of Thursday, because some people said, I thought it was the 30th, not the 1st of December. There's a special function going on Thursday, so we'll be serving supper there on Friday. Thank you.
I got one more from the back here. I got a note from Brenda. It says, wondering if you could use your God voice on Sunday morning to let people know that the newsletters are available available for pickup in the on the table in the narthex. So everybody's just there. If you know there's a friend, family member that aren't here, please pick it up and take it home to them. Saves us the postage. Thank you.
Our gifts before you. Use them for your work of caring that all may feast together at the table of abundance, walk without fear, and drink deeply from the cup of compassion. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Our prayer today comes from a wonderful minister and theologian named Roddy Hamilton. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for prayer. Create a throne room for yourself here, O Christ. But let it be the empty seat beside the anxious, the lonely chair next to the confused, the vacant pew next to the hungry, and reign, O Jesus, as sovereign over the forgotten. May your reign be a mockery to the world, but good news to those who seek the truth. And may we join them in the search, finding your walking in the streets, or breaking bread, or sitting by bedsides. May we find you in border areas on the edge of things, crossing over with the foreigner. May we find you among children learning to finger paint as teachers to those who long to enjoy life again. May we find you with the worried, silenced with nothing to say, and space enough to keep it. May we find you on the wrong side of the tracks, going where you should not and finding a place to lay your head among the lost. May we find you singing our songs of justice and peace and removing your crown to do so. May we find you with a word that lives in the hopes of the afraid and a comforting peace for those who are broken. May we find you laughing at the powerful, unnerving what folk think so secure, while welcoming those who have nothing into your throne room. O Jesus, reigning in the world, with your upside-down kingdom, may we find the faith to stand with you, sovereign of life and servant of all. We lay before you now the concerns we have for ourselves and for the world. We lay them down with our voices or in the silence of our hearts. I lay down the over 250 that died in Egypt. God, you are lifting up all of these things that we have laid down before you. We ask that you take them upon yourself and take our burdens away from us. God, we ask all these things in the name of the one that you sent, your Prince of Peace, the one whom we follow, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll rise and sing together like a healing stream. More voices, number 144.
God is calling you to serve in the world. Go now and let God's love be in your heart, let God's wisdom be in your words, and let God's patience be in everything that you do. May the Holy Spirit, may Jesus Christ, and may God, the three in one, go with you everywhere that you go. Amen.